Good morning, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts on a Monday. Man, it feels like spring out there. It's 50 degrees. We've had some rain. It's going to feel more back to winter again tonight after the Illini basketball game, as it will change to snow as we get into the evening. But enjoy the warm weather while we have it here today. We're on A Penny for Your Thoughts. It is Monday morning quarterbacking. Lots to talk about, of course, from over the weekend. Illini basketball, Illini football news, a lot of Olympic sports in action over the weekend regarding the Illini. And then, of course, there were a couple of NFL football games
the
weekend. Well, unfortunately, the two teams that I didn't want to win won the games.
And it will always work out that way. I'm on a real streak of that, Brian.
Yeah.
Every time I sit down for a game, I'm pulling for Georgia. Who wins? You know, I'm pulling for everybody I pull for loses these days, including the Illini.
Well, in college, I'm tired of Alabama. In the pros, I'm tired of the Patriots, and they just keep winning and winning and winning.
But, yeah, you know, in the fourth quarter, they just broke them down, didn't they?
I know.
They do it every time.
Yep. I wonder what the percentage was of people rooting for Jacksonville compared to the Patriots.
Well, I tell you who wasn't rooting for Jacksonville. That's the people that run the operation, you know, TV.
Yeah.
Jacksonville and Philadelphia would not be your most thrilling ideal Super Bowl, really.
Right, right.
From a fan standpoint across the nation. But, nevertheless.
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of Tom Brady over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And inappropriately so, I guess. What is he, 40 now? Is that what they keep telling us?
That's what I hear.
Playing with a bad hand, and he still found open guys in the end zone. It's amazing.
He made some great passes.
Yes, he is. All right, so we've got a lot to talk about. Of course, Illini basketball from over the weekend, and they lose at Wisconsin. That was the first game this year the Illini were not in. They got blown out early.
That's not a good team for them to play against, because there was a period, and I think you said this, there was a period of time in that first half where they just didn't make any turnovers. And Illinois needs turnovers defensively. They're overplaying, and they're giving up too many layups, obviously. 13 layups in the first 23 or 25 minutes, I counted, or dunks. You can't do that. All that leads to is better shooting. You know, it's like beating out a bunt in baseball. If you beat out a bunt, you got a hit, and the next time up, you probably get a hit. But it's a confidence thing. And their confidence must have been through the roof with all those layups. And then the Pritzel starts hitting those jumpers. And where are you?
Yeah. No, it got away. Illinois was within 4 or 6 at one point, went to his zone. And then Wisconsin beat that as well. It didn't matter what defense Illinois played. And just Brad Underwood talked after the game. He said they're just, you know.
The zone had worked better against Nebraska and other teams.
We've
seen that. But the precision. The way they swing the ball back and forth, and then they had the dribble penetration skills, and Illinois was really beaten badly in that game.
Yeah,
Doug
Altenberger kept using the term dissected,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end of the game, of course, Brad Underwood had not heard the broadcast. He used the word dissected early in his interview, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, the times I've been, and I, of course I wasn't there this game, but the times I've been to Wisconsin, there is a feeling, there's a culture there, there's a success feeling there that is just, they had 17,000 people there for a 9-10 team.
Right.
Okay, they had a worse record in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And there's a feeling, I have seen it before, you've seen, there's been games where we just get embarrassed up there.
Mm-hmm. And other games that we've won when some people didn't expect us to win, but you're right.
You got to go back a ways for that.
Yeah, that's right. Back about 10 years when we were winning up there, we were about the only team to win up there for a while.
Well, we had a pretty good ball club back in that 10 years ago, back in 11 or 12 years ago at least.
Right, right. All right, let me give you the phone numbers, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Illini basketball, Illini football in the news. Two new coaches.
Yeah, I think Rod Smith was one of the three people that I knew that were interviewed, and Canada was another, and now I see where he may have had a choice between Illinois and Maryland, and apparently going to Maryland.
Okay.
And you can see where he would probably do that. He's from LSU. He's the guy that made $1.5 million last year, the most highly paid coordinator in the country, and he had a 1.7 buyout from LSU, so they could hire him. It didn't matter whatever you pay him, he's still going to get the same amount of money totally, because the money that he gets from Maryland will count against what he's already getting guaranteed. That's what we did with the Lovey, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the money coming from Tampa
Bay.
So
mm-hmm.
Illinois didn't have to pay him as much the first couple of years because he was getting that other money.
Well, we'll talk about all of that. If you have some thoughts or comments on the new coaching hires, Rod Smith, the offensive coordinator, and then what Coach Patterson from St. Louis.
I think it's a good gamble with Patterson. With so much talent in St. Louis, he seems like a really strong guy. And I think that recruiting is a huge part of what an assistant coach does. And in this case, it's a, would you call it a gamble? I don't know. I think it's as good as the next. I mean, if Illinois can crash into that St. Louis area, and Trinity Catholic's got a half a dozen great players alone, just the one school that he coached at.
Mm-hmm. And what's where Larry Boyd, was he from that area? The offensive lineman.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get to some phone calls, emails, and texts. Feel free to join us. We'll come back with Lauren Tate right after this. Welcome back to Monday Morning Quarterbacking today. We're on Penny for your thoughts on this Monday. Glad you're with us. 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Are you prepared for retirement? The sad reality is the average American is underprepared. Ensure your word today, your hard work today, pays off tomorrow with Busey Wealth Management. How can you transition into a happy retirement if your savings fall short of your goals? Well, Busey Wealth Management has some ideas. You can estimate your income. Visit Busey.com for a financial calculator. Project your retirement expenses, food, clothing, housing, health care costs. Those go up quite a bit. And consider additional income sources, Social Security and savings, for example. Prepare for retirement with several savings options, such as individual retirement savings, IRAs, traditional and Roth, 401ks, profit sharing, employee stock ownership plans. And this would be good advice for anybody. The sooner you begin saving, the better. For more retirement and financial planning tips, connect with Busey on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for #WealthWednesday. It's a new social media initiative featuring the combined knowledge of nearly 90 experienced investment professionals and advisors who make up the Busey Wealth Management team. Stop by Busey.com online. There are many locations around town, or you can call as well for Busey. So check them out, Busey Wealth Management. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones, and that's where Alan is today. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Morning, guys. At least it's not zero weather. It's 50 degrees and almost spring-like.
It's a half a hundred.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not sure where it all to start. It seems like this is the second year in a row that we're the most unathletic team in the Big Ten. And I think we are we're pretty low in the Power 5 conference athletic-wise. We just don't have athletes in football. We don't have athletes in basketball, and even the women's basketball, they don't have very many athletes. And until our athleticism gets better, we're not going to win very many games.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's what you're playing with some of the same players. Actually, we lost four players off the last year's team, but I don't think you'd call Morgan athletic necessarily. He's
or even Hill,
vastly
for that
improved.
Yeah.
No, but they were. They were pretty adequate players, mm-hmm. I thought, a year ago. But that's been the problem. I think that Underwood first recognized it when he saw, I think it was Stephen F. Austin played New Mexico State in a game that he saw on TV, and he said, oh, my, they've got better athletes than we have. And they did, and they showed that. And I think that's certainly true of the Big Ten. you got to get players. I watch every now and then Oakland plays, and I watched Nunn the other day. Mm-hmm. And, boy, is he athletic. I mean, he can jump and run and shoot. He scored over 30 points the last game. He's averaging 26-plus for the season. He's the number two scorer in the country. But what is he? He is athletic. Mm-hmm. And he was the most
yes.
You know, we don't have anybody like that.
Yes, and he was about the last one we had to go. Him and Rayvante Rice are both athletic, and we haven't had really anybody like that. Malcolm Hill wasn't that athletic. He was good, but he was pretty limited.
Well, what we're talking about, I guess, is the ability to jump, really. And now, mm-hmm. I think that, in a sense, Frazier is athletic mm-hmm. in his ability to move, his quickness on the court, and his ability to dribble and fake people out. I think that he's sufficiently athletic to play his position, but I would not call Black athletic. I think he's developed a great fadeaway jump shot that works, and mm-hmm. he can get it off, but he doesn't draw any fouls because he's always going away from the basket when he shoots.
Well, we got that argument this fall, you and I did, about Black being our best player, and he is our best player, and he's playing real well. I just said, if he's our best player, we're going to have troubles.
Yeah.
The question I had for you, Lauren, I got to thinking about this. What's our record in the sports since we got rid of the Chief? It seems like we have the curse of the Chief. I don't know if anybody's really brought that up, but boy.
Oh, yes, it's been brought up, yes, many times.
Yeah, Lauren hears quite a bit about that.
Yeah, it's the curse of the Chief.
Well, we've got a curse.
Yeah, well, I think if we got better players, we wouldn't have a curse, you know, and that's the key. I don't think the players are not coming because of the absence of the Chief. I don't think that's a consideration among
that,
the athletes.
I mean,
but we just started missing with the previous coaches, and the new coaches have inherited impossible situations.
Well, it just doesn't seem to be, even with these new coaches. I know it's early.
Yeah.
Especially with Underwood. Doesn't seem to be getting any better.
So what do you think of the new offensive coordinator?
I don't know that much about him.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it this way. He's got to be better than what we had. It just has to be. He's got to at least, when you're as bad as we are, you got to at least try to make it fun and make it exciting. We were extremely dull last year. We were bad and dull.
Well, sounds like he is, you know, runs a pretty high-octane offense, or at least has been on staffs that are pretty high-octane. So
I think that most coaches, if you had an all-freshman starting offensive line and a freshman running back and a freshman quarterback and a freshman at every position receiver, wouldn't you try to be more concerned? I mean, you just don't go out and try a lot of trick plays with guys that are having enough trouble trying to figure out
the
basic plays.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it looked to me like an impossible situation. Somebody's got to take the blame for it, but I don't blame the play calling. Everybody else can, but I don't think that had much to do with it. I don't think anything would work when you got that many young players.
Okay, Alan?
You got to try to do something big, exciting, Lauren. I mean,
right.
Somehow, some way, you're going to lose everybody if you don't.
Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you. 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Email us talk@wdws.com. I remember Garrick McGee talking last year, I think in one of the early games, where a couple of the freshmen, there was a freshman tight end, a freshman receiver, and a freshman offensive lineman.
And everybody.
And they were all looking at each other like, do you know what we're supposed to do?
Actually cited a key play in that game where everybody did the wrong thing.
Yeah. And the play got blown up.
Yeah.
No surprise.
I remember that specifically. Yeah, I talked to him about it.
Yeah, when he was referring to that.
He was very concerned about being very fundamental because he just felt those freshmen couldn't execute anything that was intricate.
When you talk to anybody, Martin O'Donnell or others who played offensive line, they say most of the time you're not really ready to play until you're a junior.
Yeah.
At the earliest.
You know, it's like, you know, you line up and you think you just blocked the guy across from you. Well, what if the guy across from you cuts the other way and somebody else replaces? I mean, you got to be ready for all kinds of movement on the other side, and you got to be able to figure out who's going to blitz. I mean, and that's why sometimes they would keep the tight end in, and we say, well, why don't we have the tight end run out for passes? Well, maybe you can't afford to. Maybe you can't protect the quarterback. His biggest thing was protecting the quarterback with a redshirt freshman center and three raw freshmen in the offensive line. That is insane.
Well, and the other thing that Martin taught me and pointed out to me during the course of the year was that, like, a team like Iowa, they don't do a lot of stunting, right, a lot of moving around, so it was easier for a younger offensive line to say, okay, block that guy,
mm-hmm,
take him here or there. But when somebody, Minnesota or whoever else, was stunting and moving linebackers around, then suddenly you had to figure out, okay, who am I going to block and which way do I go? And then you're thinking too much. And then you get beat.
Well, I think we've all been raised with the idea that you just can't play offensive linemen as freshmen, that you just can't. But we did.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened.
That's 0-9 right
in the Big Ten.
All right, let's see here. We have a text that says, can you tell your audience what the players are averaging per game that left the program when Gross was fired? Let me see. Get to what the players are averaging per game that left the program when Gross was fired. Oh, Jalen Coleman-Lance, for instance. But he's sitting out this year.
Well, I guess they're asking about Hill and Maverick and the seniors,
mm-hmm,
aren't they?
I would think so. Or anybody else that
I
left.
I don't have their averages in front of me. I could get them, and during the next commercial break, I'll get them and tell you what they were. But, of course, Hill had a very good year in terms of scoring average, over 15, I know.
Mm-hmm. And he says, we had one of the top recruiting classes coming in. Why could we not keep him one more year? I guess referring to, like, Tillman and others that had originally committed.
Oh, keep Gross one more year in order to keep Tillman? Well, that was a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I think they thought they could keep Tillman anyway since he'd signed.
Right, right.
Then, by the way, he's having all kinds of foul trouble.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to have foul trouble. I said that when they got him, I said that's the one problem he's got is he gets in foul. He played he had the last three or four games that I've watched, and I'm just checking box scores and I'm not watching the games. He's had limited minutes. One game he had 8 minutes, 8 points, and 5 fouls.
Mm-hmm.
8 minutes he fouled out. And then that's several recent games since then. He's had minimal scoring, I mean 7 or 8 points, whatever, and a lot of fouls. He fouled out the last game that they had.
Coleman Lance went to DePaul, by the way, sitting mm-hmm out.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the other guys, I don't know what Maverick Morgan is doing, if anything, or Malcolm.
Malcolm's playing somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But that's, we don't know what they're, if anybody has any information on that, we're certainly willing to look at that. 924, talk about offensive linemen trying to develop. In college basketball, it's the big men that sometimes take longer
they usually
to
do
figure out. I mean,
that's why you look at Ibo Ibodin, mm-hmm, and think, there's some potential there. There's some quickness. There's some, he gets up high. He's a natural rebounder, and I see it in practice. He is really a good rebounder. But he doesn't have any offensive skills other than to make layups when they lob it in there to him or get it into him under the basket. If he can develop some footwork around the 5-foot area, you know, the area around the basket, I would think he has a chance. I think we'll have a hard time finding a better player the next year to play that position.
Oh, I think you're right.
I mean,
he's athletic, and
there aren't that many centers around. There aren't enough centers to go around, mm-hmm, and he's a guy that has some down the road potential. I don't think he's ready now.
Matisse Facile got in a few minutes the other night.
Yeah,
I think he's got some potential. He just is pretty raw.
He's more of a four or a wing player.
356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone. Illinois and Michigan State all time series tied at 59. 59 apiece, and Illinois in the last five games is 3-2 against Michigan State.
Beat them last year with basically the same players on the Michigan State team a year ago, 73-70 right here.
And that was the Big Ten win they got at the end of the year last year.
That was the one that put Illinois into the NCAA tournament until we played Rutgers in Michigan and got beat by Rutgers at Rutgers, and then lost to Michigan badly in the Big Ten tournament, and that knocked us out.
We're at 925. Penny, for your thoughts, give us your emails, texts, and phone calls today. We'll come back with more with Lauren Tate, Monday Morning Quarterbacking, next on DWS. 356-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. And Lauren mentioned the Illini victory last year against Michigan State over at the State Farm Center, and here's how that sounded at the end of the ball game last year.
Here we go, 73-70, Illinois leads Michigan State. 3.4 seconds left in the ball game. McQuaid to inbound it. They got to go the length of the court. McQuaid runs the baseline into Nairn with two, with one, fires a three and missed it, and the Illini have won it. Four in a row.
So it can happen, and it did last year.
Wins in a row in the Big Ten.
At the end of
Northwestern twice.
Yeah.
Handled Iowa without any trouble. That game at Rutgers was a stunner because I think we expected to make it five in a row.
I believe so. And also in 2010, you may remember ESPN Game Day came to town. All the excitement with that. And here was the final minute or so of that one, proving Illinois beat Michigan State.
Richardson with 15 seconds left. Second one. Got it. Boy, are those few. 76-73 Illinois. 12-10. Allen, the summer blocked by Davis. Cole's got the loose ball. Gets it to Jordan with four. Illinois is going to win. Down low to Davis. Who slams it in? Slams it in to finish the game.
Great play.
Illinois wins. How do you like that? Perfect day.
There you go. That was 8 years ago. Illinois and Michigan State. They play tonight at 8. Our Illini game day coverage comes your way with Scott Beatty at 6:30 tonight. Indiana, 8 o'clock Wednesday. So we had a couple of games here this week. Karen is up next. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. That was lovely that you dug that up.
Good memory, huh?
Yeah. I just have a question. What is the story with Tajon Lucas, and what's going on with him? Why isn't he playing? I don't know. Do you know?
Well, I know it's team rules. Violation of team rules.
I've said the other day on the air, so I might as well say it again. He was involved with smoking, not regular cigarettes. Let's put it that way. And that's. Usually that's a three-game penalty, and in this case he was held out completely for two games. In the third game, he did suit up, but he didn't get in. I assume that he'll play tonight.
Oh, good, because I think he'll be helpful, you know, to the team. So we'll see what happens.
Well, for depth anyway, I know Drew Casey got a few more minutes the other night during the course of the game because they needed somebody. So, yeah, that adjusts the rotation a little bit when he's not available.
Yeah. Yeah, but tonight he will be playing?
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know if he'll play him, but he'll be available.
Okay, great.
Coach is not happy when guys do things like this.
Well, he's almost probably got his hands tied. He probably has to impose some sort of discipline for that sort of thing, right?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, can't let that go.
Yeah, and he had been one of the guys that was kind of being a leader earlier in the year.
Definitely.
You know, and you let your teammates down. When you violate team rules, doesn't make you a leader. You know what I mean?
No. No. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Maybe they'll pick it up a little bit. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. We're here with Lauren Tate, Monday morning quarterbacking here on DWS. We're with you till 11. Michael Kaiser has news headlines next and more of your phone calls, emails, and texts. Illinois basketball tonight. A lot of other things to cover. What about the Super Bowl? Are you going to watch the Super Bowl? I don't know. I guess I will. I'll have to. But
you got to watch Super Bowl every year, yeah. Don't you?
Yeah. I don't know if that doesn't mean I have to enjoy it, right?
You can pull for Philadelphia.
Yeah. I like either team very much. So anyway, well, we'll see what happens with that. Michael Kaiser's next. He's a Cowboy fan. They didn't make it. So
yeah, anyway. I'm not rooting for Philadelphia. That's not happening. And okay. I don't like New England either.
Okay.
So I'm kind of in trouble there. I don't can both teams lose?
All right, and we'll talk about the referee congratulating Tom Brady at the end of the game. We'll do all that next here on DWS. Welcome back to Monday morning quarterbacking here and a review of the past weekend. Illinois men's basketball, a loss at Wisconsin Friday night. They played tonight at 8. Illini women lost at Michigan. Over the weekend, they will play at Penn State coming up tomorrow night, as you heard. And some other notes from the weekend, and you can join us here at 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Men's gymnastics beat Arizona State Saturday. They'll be at Penn State on Saturday. The Illini women's gymnastics team narrowly lost to Michigan Friday night. They're also at Penn State next Saturday.
That was really a close one.
So that was
way less than a point.
Yeah, the Arizona State match was not close, men's gymnastics. Men's track and field, men's and women's track and field, of course, they're together now under Mike Turk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're out in Lincoln, Nebraska. They will host the Illini Classic starting at 10 o'clock at the Armory this weekend, this Saturday. Interesting thing here, Devin Quinn had the third fastest 60-meter dash time in school history.
Illinois is really good in the dashes and in the hurdles.
6.69.
Yep.
For a 60-meter dash, excuse me. And Quinn also ran the 200 meters in 21:18 to finish second behind a runner from Houston.
You've got to have those fast guys because you got to have relay teams, and you don't have a relay team unless you got some a really good closer.
The women's team track and field runner-up positions, 3,000-meter, 60-meter hurdles. Women's tennis, a couple of wins, beat Florida State and Eastern Illinois. And wrestling, ranked 14th, beat number 24, Purdue. They won that one 21-12. The Illini won six of the first eight matches to start to basically clinch the match. Isaiah Martinez now 7-0. Here's a stat on Isaiah Martinez. Only one wrestler has gone the full 7 minutes.
Oh, really?
With a two-time champion. So he's racked up an impressive.
He takes them down in a hurry.
And they'll host Maryland on Sunday at 1, swimming and diving lost at Nebraska. So those are some of the other results from the weekend. We'll have Illini men's basketball tonight at 8. You had some numbers on the guys from last year.
Somebody called in earlier and asked about the scoring last year, and I made the point that they lost four really good players off the team last year, and let's see if I can get to the right page here.
Talking about Hill and Morgan.
Hill averaged 17.2. Morgan averaged 9.9. Abrams averaged 8.6. They were the top three scorers on the team. Mm-hmm. The other player that they lost was Coleman Lance. He just averaged 8 points a game last year, and he was basically a three-point shooter. He'll be playing at DePaul next year. But he didn't give you much in the way of assists. He only had 34 assists for the season in 35 games. That's less than one a game. And he had 82 rebounds. He didn't rebound. And I think he was a guy that, it's fair to say, didn't fit into what Brad Underwood wants to do. He wants really tough, strong guys. The shame of it is that if I can think of his last name, the dash name of
Simeon. Tucker?
Horton Tucker, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. He is exactly what Illinois would want based on the way he's playing right now. People up there are saying that he's going to beat out Io for player of the year. Mm-hmm. He's having a terrific year, and he is a Nick Anderson type, strong, tough, hard rebounder, good scorer, got a good jump shot. Mm-hmm. Sorry to see him go to Iowa State because he is exactly the type of player that Underwood needs. However, Underwood was caught in a situation where he had to go with the Irvin group or the other group, and the Irvins were down on Talon because he left the team and joined another AAU team.
356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Penny, for your thoughts on a Monday, as we do during the season. Football and basketball seasons. We're Monday morning quarterbacking here with columnist Lauren Tate as we look back at the weekend. Some of the other action yesterday in the Big Ten, Michigan won again over Rutgers.
Yeah, they bounced back pretty strong, didn't they?
Yeah, Nebraska is up there near the top.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting.
Yeah, they just kind of pieced together a team of transfers, and all of a sudden they're winning games. With Watson, of course, is not a transfer, but four of their players are, and Illinois right now, the coaches are working really hard on trying to analyze who the available transfers might be. Mm-hmm. The hottest guy for them would be Caroline from Nevada, who is the grandson of J.C. Caroline and the son of Simeon Rice. I mean, he's got a Rice and Caroline background.
Connection, yeah.
Yeah, and he's really having a terrific year. I think he scored a whole bunch of points in their last game. I mean, a lot, maybe over 40.
Standings in the Big Ten, Purdue and Ohio State 8-0. Ohio State won at Northwestern the other night. Michigan State 5-2. You've got, listen to all these records. Michigan 6-3, Nebraska 5-3, Indiana's 4-3. Maryland's 4-4, Wisconsin's 3-4, Penn State's 3-5, Northwestern's 3-5, and Minnesota's 3-6.
Did you see what Michigan State's front line did to Indiana, and Morgan. Mm-hmm. Morgan's been playing good. Those three guys, Jackson, Ward, and Bridges, scored 50 mm-hmm. among themselves, just yeah. those three. And they just raked Indiana, and Morgan got one field goal in that game. I've seen Morgan when he scored in the 20s and looked like a really strong postman. But not against Michigan State. Yeah.
Ward had a double-double, 18 points, 13 rebounds.
Ooh.
Here's some stats for you, Michigan State, before we go back to the phones. The Spartans are number one in the country, not Big Ten, country, field goal percentage defense.
Yeah.
34.8. Number two in the country, not Big Ten, country, scoring margin, 21.6. They are number one in the NCAA in block shots per game and number two in rebound margin by plus 11. And they're third in the country in field goal shooting overall, offensively, 52%.
What happened?
Those are big numbers.
What happened to them in that three-game stretch where they lost twice and nearly got beat by Rutgers?
I don't know.
They just all of a sudden hit a wall, and now they're bounced back. I mean, they're going to be a contender for the national championship,
sure.
aren't they?
I would think so. I think they're a team built for it. Let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning, Lauren. And excuse me, Lauren, for not greeting you first. I learned in high school etiquette that I was always supposed to greet the elder of two people. But anyway, I wanted to call in Saturday when Josh was on, Mr. Whitman. I wanted to complain about the current ad campaign. I actually think it has a negative impact on recruiting, and I'll tell you how. These 18-year-olds don't care about, you know, we've always been the fighting line. I always will. But there are a lot of older people who look at that and say, come on, guys, you wouldn't fight for the chief, you know. And that I think, annoys people. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, you're talking about the ad campaign.
It was a long fight for the chief.
And I wanted to say to Josh, come on, Josh, I know you're in control of that. Why don't you look at it... you know, some years ago, 20 years ago, the New Orleans Saints were in horrible condition as a football team, and people would go to the games, but they would wear a paper bag over their head with some eye holes cut out. And I've talked to a lot of, you know, people we've talked Illini sports for decades. I'm 71, and I used to go to games more often, but it just leaves such a bad taste in my mouth to hear those commercials day in and day out on DWS and on CIA. And it's an irritant to me. And to me, there are older guys who go, no, you don't want to go to Illinois. They won't fight. They're not fighting for the chief. They wouldn't fight for the chief. They knuckled under to the NCAA. And you don't want to go there. That's not the school for you.
No, whoa. Knuckle under the NCAA. You operate within the NCAA. You are responsible to the NCAA. You can't do what the NCAA says you can't do. You can't do that.
I realize that, Lauren. And I had something about the football yesterday that I thought, boy, Lauren will like to hear this. You know when Gronkowski was taken out of the game for the concussion protocol. What if you make a hit on a guy that takes him out of the game, then you should leave the game too. You know, kind of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I think that would cause more and more, you know, cornerbacks, safeties, or linebackers to, you know, think twice. You know, that this hit could take me out of the game. Yeah, I want to hit this guy hard and maybe take him out of the game, but, you know. What do you think about that as a solution? Because it is becoming a significant problem.
Well, it does take people out of the game. We've seen people removed from games all season long, I think, inappropriately. I don't think that in every case a guy did it intentionally. Things just happen.
I guess his point is that maybe the offensive player ought to go out too. If he deliberately, you know, he puts his head down, puts his body in a position to get hit by somebody but are you really thinking that detailed?
Every
that
time
moment?
You run the football and you're going to make contact, the first thing you do is duck your head.
Go ahead, Richard. Maybe I got that wrong.
Brian, the offensive guy is generally in a mindset of, I got to protect myself. and he's not generally thinking, now where is my head? I'm trying to see where this cornerback is coming from or the safety. But the guy who is, has a mindset to, inflict damage, if he is, I hate to say careless, but, you know, that's how we're being taught today, that he was careless and that he used his head to lead with, things like that. If you hit a guy in such a way that he has to leave the game and go through the concussion protocol, then you should leave. If he does come back, say in the fourth quarter, then you can come back. Okay. But I think that might put in the minds of defensive backs, particularly, a little more, shall we say, reserve.
But they are kicking them. Caution. They are removing them from the game now. What you're asking for is exactly what they're doing. If I'm a defensive back and I hit a person's helmet, and they determine it was severe, then I'm out of the game. I don't know how many Illinois players were removed.
Why wasn't that guy removed yesterday?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're asking about a specific play, but I'm just saying that that is a rule in college right now for sure. Brian, how many guys do we have leave the games this year?
Oh, several.
At least one a game, didn't we?
Hey, Richard, okay. I got to run, but thank you.
Thanks.
All right. I think we've got this right. Is this Bill Raftery?
Brian.
Bill, how are you?
Angeles, Lauren. Oh, my God. Lauren and I can bond.
Bill Raftery, are you still alive?
You're still named. Your name's all over the tables down here at the new hotel.
Oh, Bill, it's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
I'm here, you guys. Not much.
Well, we heard you were in town, so we just wanted to say hi to you this morning. And
well, that's nice. I'm trying to figure out. I think Bruce was here the last time I was in. I don't think I was here with John at all. Although on the road we had you, but I don't think I've been back to town.
Yeah.
In quite a while. Building looks great. I got to look at it last night, which, has been a great venue over the years. And guy you got here, let me tell you, this guy is a coach, by the way. I know they're struggling at, losing tough games, but a friend of mine and he were junior college guys together. So that's how far back I've heard his name. And then we had Stephen F. Austin. We didn't have them. It was one of those Vegas tournaments where it's made for TV, and yet they bring other teams in. You know how they do that once in a while? So he was the undercard. And so I watched him practice, and I'm going, oh, my God, no wonder they won the NCAA tournament, So I know fans here are used to great success, and this guy will get it going. He's demanding, but you can see the way they guard. They know what they're doing. It's just a matter of getting some talent and some size and get the thing going again.
Hey, Bill, I was going to ask you, I asked Brian this. What happened in that three-game stretch for Michigan State? They lost a couple games, nearly got beat by Rutgers, and I couldn't believe how they fell apart against Michigan. I mean, that just didn't make any sense to me.
You know, I don't have the answer, obviously, because I'm like you. You're sitting there watching the games and what. But I've had them on and off during it, and I think, but let me put it this way. I think they're re-energized right now.
Yeah.
I think they play a lot of people, and I think sometimes rhythm is thrown off. I think he's got what we would all call nice kids, and I think once in a while they're sort of content to keep everybody happy, and I guess that gets the bridges. I think he could just take over a game if he wanted to. But they share it, and they're unselfish. And I think it's on the road, on the road to the Final Four. I think it's a learning process, who's going to get minutes. Ward gets, 18 or 19 minutes, and he really has great numbers in those minutes. But I don't know if he could sustain it, running up and down with that big body and all that. So I just think maybe defensively at guard, and the danger tonight, I think, is the great ability to dribble drive by your guys. And some games they don't really play the guard spot, the opponent outside, they break them down in the lane, which is dangerous with your guys, particularly Frazier.
Yeah, you like Frazier.
I do. I don't dislike any of the kids. I just think it's a matter of, a size – deal a little bit, mm-hmm. and maybe some offensive ability, shot selection. You know, sometimes guys take threes and you say, why? You know, if you're good at one thing, sort of, you know, stick to your lap, kind of. But I think it's all a process, too. The worst year of a coach's life is the first year.
Yeah.
You know, every place you are, like, it's new kids, and either they were, you know, recruited or had their minutes guaranteed, or, you know, they sort of get maybe just emotionally not as perked up because this is a new guy and I got to find out if he likes me. And I think it's all, again, you use this word, everybody uses this word, and it is, but I just think the first year is such a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And putting something into the way you want to coach, the way you want to play. And in the meantime, you've got to make sure you're on the phone, you've got to make sure you've got recruiting in
order. A home is an investment mm-hmm. for the long term, and your home's basement or crawl space.
Hang on a second, Bill. Ed messed up something there. Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. All right, I thought maybe that was my gift for
no.
on the show.
No.
But anyhow, I just think it'll work out fine here. I mean, it's hard for people to be patient anymore because everybody wants it now, the immediate gratification. And it can't happen unless it's a fluke where somebody leaves a job with the barn full, and the guy wants to retire or he goes to another job, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, Bill, you know, one of the things that's evolved over time is that the players seem to be going to the same schools as the top players. And I see Duke's got the 1, 2, 3 players next year. I mean, what's your reaction when you see that?
I think he'll mess them up. What I delight in, though, it doesn't mean they're going to win the national title. You know, you've seen that the last 5 or 6 years. How many times has Kentucky won it,
you know,
with the number ones or Kansas? And, Duke pops up, obviously. But they want to go where maybe not that it's easier, but it's guaranteed 30 wins or 28 wins.
Yeah.
Or they want to play with their friends kind of a deal. You know, we've seen that a lot. And I've seen it go the other way. I remember Garnett and Stephon Marbury. I'm at a game in Chicago. It was Louisville DePaul. Everybody stayed up for that one. And it ends up where I see these two kids together. They're high school seniors. And what are you doing here? I said to Stephon, oh, we're thinking of going to school together. You know, well, it didn't work out, obviously. But the point is, these kids from camps or, you know, skills camps with the big-name pros sort of get together. And it's a little bit of a click. But what I do get a kick out of, you know, a Middle Tennessee comes up and bops somebody, or a George yep. Mason does, or, you know, or a Butler, because you got older kids, the difference in a great player and a good player, you know, it's minimal. It's probably being consistent in everything you do every time you're on the floor and being aware and astute, all that. And so you get a couple of kids that have been 4 years or 5 years in your program, you know, you can play with them. And you see that in these conferences. You know, why are there supposed upsets? It's because kids believe in themselves. They're well coached. And they don't care about the headlines because they played with that kid in the camp, and they probably held their own with him in camp, but he's getting all the notoriety.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, Bill Raftery, good to hear from you. We'll see you over at the arena tonight.
Brian, this is what they call a broom back east. You're getting rid of me? I've got a lot more to say.
Well,
10 o'clock. The 10 o'clock hour is approaching, but I expect a hug tonight, Bill.
Oh, you got it. You deserve it, Lauren. We'll see you both tonight.
Hey, Bill, thank you for the time.
No problem. Bye-bye.
We appreciate it. All right, Bill Raftery with us for a few minutes. We're at 9:58. And I think Charles wanted to talk about Illinois baseball. If he can hang on or call us back, we'll get to that right after the news. We also have some text and emails to get to here before the top of the hour. Hey, a new sponsor with us, Steve and Pam Starwald, Keller Williams. They're a husband and wife team selling real estate, hands-on from start to finish. Pam, in fact, has completed training and earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist. If you're looking to downsize, she can help with that. And both Steve and Pam grew up in the Champaign-Urbana area, graduated locally, and they can basically help you through the entire process, selling a home, buying a home, home inspection, appraisal process. The Starwald Group at Keller Williams, Steve and Pam Starwald, And Google Starwald if you just want to see what all they do. Check that out. Their number is 239-7156, 239-7156. And that rolls over to Pam's cell if needed. So Steve and Pam Starwald from Keller Williams, give them a call today. The news is next at 10 o'clock. This is WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Here again, Brian Barnhart.
And we are with Lauren Tate on a Monday morning quarterback show, as we do every Monday during the football and basketball seasons. Illini basketball tonight at 8 o'clock, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock against Indiana. So a couple of games in a row here. In fact, the Illini play three games at home in a row, which hasn't happened since November.
And no games over the weekend.
And no games over the weekend again.
Yeah, that's too bad because I noticed when we play Saturday afternoon that people just come out in great numbers, and we play at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night or Monday night. Mm-hmm. It's not the same.
It's not. Nope, it's not. Students are back now, though. So
yeah, that
help.
Makes a difference. Yeah.
That'll help a little bit. All right, Charles waded through, and we were going to get to him next. Bill Raftery was calling in. We had to kind of juggle things around. Charles, how are you?
How you doing this morning?
Good. You want to talk some baseball, I hear.
Okay. Well, I have two quick questions. A line of basketball question came from my mouth, so I'm going to start with that first real fast. And then I hang the phone up and let you guys answer it. I know the Illini basketball team is young and they got a new coach. But I wonder when, if you watch, because I know you guys at the court line observing the game, calling the game, whatever, that eye of the tiger, that spirit to play toward putting the ball in the hoop as opposed to passing the ball around, trying to see who's open, who's doing what, which I know is part of the game because I played basketball myself, but I don't see that tenacity to get the ball in the hoop like you may see, like let's say like Mike Tyson, his objective, he get up, is to knock you out. Mm-hmm. Or you play baseball, most players want to hit the ball, but they want to like hit a home run. Mm-hmm. I don't see that with Illini. So like you see, you watch the game tonight of others that played against Illini, they have that hunger, even those games that was close when they played Nebraska and Alaska, that they have that go-to. They come down, they dribble, they look at their players. But ain't nobody like looking to – they shoot a lot, but it's something missing. And I know the team is young, but I was just wondering, can you address that? And the other one about baseball, Rick, I just wanted to know when Illini baseball is going to start, where they at, and what, you know. And that was pretty much it with Illini baseball.
Okay.
But
very good.
Basketball, you know, that's just what my observant that it seemed like they don't have that go-to. The coach has it, you know, but the players, they don't pass, and not really that knockout punch to we put the ball in the hoop, and no other teams play like that. Mm-hmm. They position themselves and bam, you know.
Okay. All right.
So well, and I would hang up on my
all list. Right. Thanks, Charles. All right, well, one thing that would help getting it inside would be having a postman. We don't have a true center, per se.
That's right.
I mean, so Black can post up and hit a 10-footer, turnaround jumper, which he's gotten very good at.
Yep.
But we don't have an Isaac Haas, for instance, or we don't have anybody
like
that. Well,
I think the earlier caller saying that the team is unathletic and the most unathletic team in the Big Ten, I think we all agree on that. And I think that's what it makes it appear. You can, from that point, you can state almost anything. It's not going to work out well when the other teams are better athletically than you are. Mm-hmm. That's,
well,
but by the way, everybody says we're young, and I'm not going to argue the fact, but I will tell you, Finke and Black are in their fourth year of college. Allstork is in his fifth year of college, and Nichols is in his third year of college. So, you know, that's three of those guys are starters. We're playing some freshmen, too.
At the guard spots.
But when you know, we got a 9- and 10-man rotation. If Lucas plays, you got a 10-man rotation.
All right, some leftover texts here. By the way, Illinois baseball, real quick. They start, usually they play in Florida or in warmer weather areas, usually by the end of this month, right, is how they usually I mean, February, I'm sorry. Yeah. Not January. That's a little early. Yeah, February.
No, they'll be playing next month. I saw the schedule. I don't have it in my head now, but yes, they'll be playing next month.
Yeah, and I know softball.
They're already
practicing. Yeah, they practice indoors usually at the – so they have, I was thinking today was February. It's, you know, late January, but they will be starting in late February, and we'll have those games on the radio, by the way, later on. So that'll with Scott Beatty and others. All right, let's see here. Dave Lone will come on board as well once basketball's over for the women. These people calling about the Chief, they say just get over it. He's not coming back. And another text says, I agree with a guy who talked about the commercials 100%. Did not like the you've heard those commercials, right?
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't have any objection. I mean, the commercials are commercials. You know, if I'm watching – My policy on commercials, I'm afraid, and this is a bad thing to say, but if I'm watching TV and a commercial comes on, I turn to a different channel.
Just fast forward through them, right?
Well, yeah, I tape stuff, and run. That's why I tape. Why else do you tape? To run through the commercials.
All right, let's see here. We have Terry up next. Hi, Terry. You're on at 1016. Go ahead.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to let everyone know that this Friday and Saturday is going to be the first induction of Centennial High School's Hall of Fame.
Right.
After almost 60 years, they're finally getting a Hall of Fame. Friday night at the basketball game, there's going to be a meet and greet at 6 o'clock in the cafeteria. The inductees will be introduced between the varsity and JV game. And then Saturday night, there's a dinner at the Regent starting at 6 o'clock where they will be honored and inducted into the Hall of Fame. The tickets for the Saturday night affair is $40 a person. There's plenty of tickets left, and the inductees has a wide range of sports, male, female, and anyone that's followed Centennial sports over the years should attend this. It's going to be a real nice affair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that sounds really nice. And throw some Centennial names out there of lore.
Ben Byers, track and field, Bonnie Blair. Everybody knows who she is. Megan Bushy, soccer. I believe she was All-State every year she was in high school. Mike Carroll, for years held a rushing record at Centennial, and I think he still holds a broad jump record in track and field. U.S. Davidson, basketball, track and field. Alan Dilley, swimming. Jamie Fairbanks. People should recognize that name. He
golf.
Won the state in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy Lawrence, who was just a marvelous athlete in high school, basketball, volleyball, track and field. Gia Lewis-Smallwood, who basketball, volleyball, and is Olympic track and field. Roger McClendon, that's a name from the past.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the only McDonald's All-American to ever come out of Champaign-Urbana.
Mm.
And either still holds or is second in scoring at the University of Cincinnati. And then Catherine Reuter, who's also an Olympic speed skater.
Well, it sounds like a great event. Give us the vitals again. When is it?
Friday night is a meet and greet in the cafeteria at the Centennial basketball game. Between the JV and varsity game, the inductees will be introduced. And then Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Regent in Savoy is a buffet dinner, and then each inductee will be introduced, background on them, an acceptance speech, and the price to attend the dinner is $40 a person.
Okay.
If you want more information, you can call Tony Millard. He's the athletic director at Centennial. His number is 351-3988.
All right. Hey, Terry, that sounds great. Thank you for passing that along.
Thanks, Brian.
Very good.
Have a good day, Lauren.
Yep, thank you.
Yep, those are some great names there from Centennial. All right, we're at 10:20. Need a break. We'll come back with more. We've got more callers. A lot of texts and emails have rolled in. We'll get to all of those as we continue Monday morning quarterbacking here today on Penny.
Today on the NewsHour, Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti wants you to eat more fish. Find out what kind and why as she's our guest at 4:20 this afternoon on DWS.
We are back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Glad you're with us. 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling. Text line 3515-357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. One texter says, heard on the 5 o'clock show that one of the hosts thought Tillman, Jeremiah Tillman, would be here if Gross was. I think he would have left anyway because of influences around him. Too bad, because we really need a presence down low. That's from Bill. Hi, Lauren and Brian. This is from David. Malcolm Hill's playing in Germany, 12 points a game. Maverick Morgan is playing in Poland, 9 points a game, according to David. And Brian or Lauren, when a recruit is thinking about a school to go to, do they ever make deals with a coach as far as to them wanting to play a certain number of minutes guaranteed?
Oh, boy, I don't think that happens.
He goes, I just wonder if this has ever happened.
I don't think minutes come up. Do you?
I don't think so. I mean, they all tell him that, hey, you can help us.
Oh,
you can make an impact.
You might have a situation where you would indicate to a player that he could start next year, or you would expect him to start, and, you know, as long as he meets expectations, that sort of thing. But as far as the number of minutes, I don't think that happens.
Let's go to the phones. JD is with us this morning. Hi, JD.
Good morning, guys. Good show as usual.
Thank you.
Two things. Number one, I don't know if you talked about it at all, but we lost one of the great football broadcasters in Keith Jackson last week. Sorry to see him go. He was a great one.
Well, he certainly was. He was the afternoon soundtrack for college football for a long, long time.
Best line I read on the internet, if sparrows are the sign of spring and swallows are the sign of summer, the voice of Keith Jackson is the sign of autumn. Isn't that great?
That's pretty good.
I wish I'd written that.
Yeah.
That is great. They should put that on his tombstone. That is great.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
What I wanted to talk about, did either of you hear about or read the article in the Wall Street Journal about concussions?
About what? Kentucky?
It was just in there recently.
You broke up a little bit. Is it concussions?
Yes, about concussions.
Okay.
Well, a guy from Stanford, he's a professor of emergency medicine. He had several recommendations. One, you know, no tackling before junior high and no tackling during practices and things. But the one thing that he brought up that I thought was interesting is no linemen get in 3 or 4 point stances. They're all either with their forearms on their thighs or standing with their hands in front of them. His contention is that that's an area that we're overlooking, is the linemen who typically take a shot right to their helmet as soon as the play moves.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. And where was that?
It was just last week, and then the gentleman is Dr. Auerbach, and he's a professor of emergency medicine at Stanford.
Hmm. Was that in the Wall Street Journal?
I'm sorry?
Was that in the Wall Street Journal?
Yes, Wall Street Journal on, I think, the 20th.
I think that one of the issues that came out was the fact that, as opposed to a single blow, the repeated contact with the helmet is what leads to concussions. I think that's what I drew from it.
And that's what he's saying, is that
multiple
the
hits.
Down linemen are taking those all the time.
Right, right.
Yeah, because we tend to focus on the spectacular hit with a receiver spread out and he's helpless and, you know, somebody nails him or whatever. But just the repeated inside the line, I guess, is what you're talking about. So.
Right. Back in the 70s, there was a coach out on the East Coast, high school coach, who had all his defensive linemen stand up, and they got down in a squat position with their hands in front of them. Now, he wasn't obviously thinking about concussions back then in the 70s, but it was an interesting concept that worked for him, and he was either way ahead of the game or he just did it for whatever reason. I don't know, but anyway, it worked for him.
All right, JD. I just remember playing in those helmets at home, the helmets you could buy and play with at home. It said, not for game use. I remember reading that. Sure. So,
well, those old suspension helmets would spin on your head sometimes.
I know. All right, JD, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Again, one of our sponsors, Gallo Miller, Plane and Collision, a paint and collision repair, a full-service collision repair facility. Of course, our men there are Dave Miller and Bill Gallo. They're very passionate about their business. They know that having a car accident is a serious matter, and you know when you've had one. All of us have probably been in one at one point or another. You're kind of rattled. You don't know what to do next. Well, first thing you should do is call Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. Go to their website, gallomiller.com. You can locate them at I-74 between Neal and Prospect, and they can help out. They know the collision repair business inside and out. They spent a number of years as an assurance adjuster. Dave did before returning to fixing cars. Bill, before he started Gallo Miller, ran body shops at other notable businesses in the area. And they know what a pain and what a hassle it is to have your car repaired. They want to get it back to where it should be and make that it's a process as painless as possible. So free estimates always offered. Make sure you stop by and visit them. Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, south side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits, and visit gallomiller.com. And we've talked Illinois basketball a little bit. Bill Raftery called in for a couple of minutes. We talked with him. He'll be working tonight. But also Illinois football, the new offensive coordinator, Rod Smith. Talked Super Bowl a little bit with the Patriots and the Eagles, and lots of various topics. A lot of good texts and emails today. We appreciate those. Keep those coming in here this morning as well as the phone calls. We have Michael Kaiser up next with some news. I guess the government is still shut down, but they're working on it. Yep. So we'll talk about all that next here on DWS. Monday morning quarterbacking today here on DWS. We'll have an hour of open line tomorrow. Someone on briefly about Jock Jams, which is coming up a little later at the end of the month here of January. We'll do that, and then we'll have open line. We have On the Money, the talk folks, Rudy Wealth, On the Money program will be in the second hour tomorrow. And we'll have some more guests along the way. Julie Wirth's going to join us during the course of the week from the News Gazette. She covers the University of Illinois. A lot of interesting stories out of the U of I recently that she's been a part of. So we'll visit with her on Wednesday. Also, Mark Johnson, who just is going to retire here soon from the YMCA. We'll visit with him coming up later in the week. And then on Friday, a couple of hours of open line to close out the week. And may try a new little idea I've come up with for Friday in the second hour. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Email us talk at WDWS.com. A lot of non-Patriot fans are annoyed by or maybe jealous of all the recent success the Patriots have had. They believe the referees favor the Patriots. You know how many penalties they had yesterday?
Well, there were a couple of long pass plays that were just killers in that game, killed Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
New England
called for one penalty in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And the referee, right after this, they were taking the victory formation to the end of the game, the first person to congratulate Tom Brady was the referee, which made for a lot of
talk
on the
good.
Internet.
You shouldn't be doing that, should you?
Cleet Blakeman was the first person to congratulate Brady as the clock ran out. And as if that wasn't enough to fuel conspiracy talk, the Patriots only had one penalty called against them the entire game, the fewest against a team in a playoff game since the 2011 AFC Championship, when there was only one penalty called against the Patriots. So that fuels a lot of that. Anyway, 356-9397, you can join us here on the phone line. Second-ranked Virginia with a win over Wake Forest, 59-49. They do not play exciting basketball at Virginia.
Boy, are they good defensively, though.
Yeah.
And part of it is they're methodical offensively, and they hold the number of possessions down. But nevertheless, they are really good, and they're doing it different from almost anybody.
Anybody else, yeah.
Yeah.
So Villanova's been at the top. Virginia's been right there, West Virginia. The Big 12 is pretty interesting right now because Kansas State's picked up a couple of big wins over Oklahoma.
And you know, Kansas has won their last two games when they were beat. West Virginia led the whole game, had them down double figures, and late, and yet Kansas rallied and won.
Have you seen Trey Young play?
Yeah, and I saw him play a terrible game the other day. He had 48 points, and he had 9 million mistakes. But you know what? The thing that I'm left with that game is you knew, I knew, all the people in the stands knew who was going to take the final shot. They're down. Mm. They need one last basket, right, to tie the game. Right. And they tried to get – they took three passes. They had 8 seconds to go. It took three passes to get the ball to him. And then there were two guys guarding him, if not three. Oh, and yeah. He tried to heave it. You could get a pretty good shot in 8 seconds if you just let one of the guys that's open go down and shoot.
Yeah.
They weren't guarding the other guys.
He is amazing to watch.
So. I know. He's fantastic, but he's also leading the nation in turnovers.
That's right. He is a freshman.
And they did not win that game, yeah. And that's what the idea is, to win the game.
I'm always watching Lon Kruger work with him, talk with him during the game, and just watch Lon.
Isn't he beautiful?
Oh, I love to watch Lon.
He is under control. Yes. He is so relaxed. He appears to be. I mean, he's intense, but he doesn't give it away.
All right,
he's got the perfect mood for a coach on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Oh, he's that way in person, too, right?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, same guy. Let's go to Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. I enjoyed the article yesterday in the paper written about Tyler Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about him, but I felt there were a few things that weren't given about him. What's his size when he played the 2 years down in the other schools? What kind of shooting did he do? Little things like that. Is he a good performer? Apparently he's a good point guard, the way they read in the article that when he comes in and practice and runs the point, everything runs very smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lauren's looking up some stats.
Well, he's 6 foot two, and he's a redshirt sophomore here now. And he's a walk-on, and I think he knows the system pretty well from the head coach, but I don't know that he is going to play. I don't have any idea whether in the future whether – I mean, he doesn't stack up with Osumu and who the Illini have coming in and Frazier, and those will be the main guards next year, I would think, along with Smith.
Those guys will be new, Smith won't, and won't know the system near as well as he does, so mm-hmm. He may be at least a spot player to get things going pretty well.
Well,
he appeared in 11 games for Oklahoma State last year and had 7 points. And, he's redshirting this year.
Well, I can tell you that he's a very good shooter. I've seen him shoot in practice, when they – use him on the scout team and so forth. And you're right, very early in the year when they were just first practicing in October, he knew the offense better than anybody else, and he helped get them, when he was practicing, into a lot of the right sets. And they were really hoping that the NCAA would allow him to play this year to kind of help out, but they ruled against it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. Okay. Thanks, Bill. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Email us talk@wdws.com. Illinois, Michigan State tonight at 8, 6:30. Illini game day coverage from the State Farm Center at 6 o'clock. This being a Monday, we're at the News Gazette, has their show as well at the Esquire during the course of the year. And, of course, that's usually on Monday nights at 5. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, yeah. I'd like to go back to the Patriots for a moment.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the disparity in the number of penalties. That the one penalty, the pass interference before the half, was a real shadow penalty, and the ball probably couldn't have been caught, and it's stuff that isn't called a lot of other instances. And there were three or four times that the Patriots – should have been called and were not called, and they did some helmet to helmet contact themselves. It's the nature of the penalties that they weren't doing penalties against the Patriots when they did the same exact things as the Jacksonville was doing.
Yeah, so you say there's a conspiracy, huh? Overall, I think the refs
it's not a conspiracy. They don't get together and talk about it, but there's a favorability, and in fact, I think the Patriots play into that. That pass interference before the half, I think they were angling for a pass interference.
Hmm.
They threw the ball long, and the guy was having a hand-to-hand combat with the defender, and it was way over both their heads. But
certainly wasn't catchable.
They were trying to draw the penalty.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I'm sure that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're smart that way, you know, if you...
That's what happened in the Minnesota win a week ago. The guy was trying to avoid a penalty, and when he ducked under instead of tackling
the guy, go.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But I still think that they favor the Patriots. It's like the Mutual Admiration Society that the referee showed for Brady at the end.
Yeah.
You know, Brady's so great, we won't call anything against him, you know. So,
and we'll shake his hand when it's over.
That's right. That's sort of tasteless.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't like them is why, the Patriots. So.
Yeah. Well,
and Jacksonville, I thought, played a great game.
They did. And they had a great run at the end of the year. I mean, to win in Pittsburgh and lead in New England all the way into the fourth quarter, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but then we don't need to go on sour grapes. But.
Yes. All right.
Oh, I have one other question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it was only because while I was listening, you were talking basketball. In talking about Frazier, what do you think the status is going to be of Tion Lucas as we go forward? Because he's been playing less and less.
Well, yeah, he didn't even go to two games, didn't travel to Nebraska, did travel to Wisconsin, but did not play. So, yeah, I don't know.
Are you talking about this year or next year?
Well, anytime. I mean, he was a good player for us last year and was helping out occasionally this year, but he's gradually getting overshadowed, it looks like.
Yeah, well, you know, he can't shoot, which it hurts. And he has one three-point field goal for the entire season, which might be a record for a guard in NCAA basketball. I mean, guards have to shoot, and the three-point shot is – I mean, Purdue made 20 of them the other day. Illinois made one the same day. So, I mean, it's you got to make outside shots, and if you don't, you don't contribute to the offense because they don't have to guard you that close, and they can back off or they can handle a pick and roll differently. I don't know what the long range plan is, but I know what some of the thinking is, and he's in trouble.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You. All right, need a break. Back with more phone calls. We've got Tom waiting. He'll be first next, and we'll come back with more after this. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We are back on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Glad you're with us. 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. January, by the way, is Radon Action Month. Woods Basement Systems radon experts can help determine if a building's radon levels are above the EPA's recommended levels, and if so, can install an aesthetically pleasing and affordable radon mitigation system. So make sure you contact them, as it is Radon Action Month. Woods Basement Systems, since 1986, the Woods family has helped over 55,000 customers protect your home's investment. Get your free estimate from Woods and fix basement and crawl space and crack issues once and for all. They've acquired several awards for their basement finishing projects and for their crawl space encapsulation system, but they're proudest of their Better Business Bureau Torch Awards. So check out Woods Basement Systems and check them out at 888-935-4333 or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. One of our great sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts, 1051. Tom is up next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Do you monitor or watch any of the high school basketball players?
I know Lauren does.
Are you does he?
Yeah, I've seen several high school games this year. Yes.
Have you seen that young fellow from Muhammad Seymour, Corey Noel, play?
No, I have not. I have not seen Muhammad Seymour play. I know he's a good scorer.
Last game they played at the tournament, he scored 26 points. He's averaging probably 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a senior. Do you think that perhaps he would be looked at by somebody like Purdue or Illinois or Michigan State or something like that?
I would not think so. I mean, I know that they have their eyes on players nationally that are ranked higher.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, you got a guy like Underwood has made two trips to Florida lately. I mean, he's all over the country. They're all over the country seeking players. They're in the in the market for a fifth year transfer. They're going way beyond Champaign County. Let's put it that way.
what kind of school do you think had picked this boy up?
I don't know because I haven't seen him play enough. I don't know how athletic he is, and I don't know. There are a lot of players that are averaging 20 points a game at this level, so that's not enough in itself. But I would imagine he, from what I'm reading, I would think he'd be able to play in college somewhere. I just don't. I don't think. I doubt it'd be in the Big Ten, but I could be proven wrong.
I've seen him play. I've seen him play, and he's just phenomenal. The kid is.
Yeah.
And so you know, and he's only about 6'2", maybe 6'3" at the most. And he's skinny, but he's just anytime they give him the ball, I mean, he never misses. It just seemed like he's got a magnet for that ball to the rim. And it goes in, but it might be worth your time, Corn, to learn to go and watch him play.
Yeah, well, I might do that. I've been thinking about going over to see Monticello play tomorrow night, and I've been down to see Belleville West play a couple of times. I've seen Champaign Central play a couple of times, but you know, Illinois's got games on a lot of these weekdays. They're playing the same time. They're even playing Friday nights. They had a game on Friday night. Two games on Friday night.
I think Brian might let you off for the night.
Well, I'll ask him.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Thank you, Tom.
You bet.
Appreciate the phone call. We'll take another break. Back with more 10:53 here on DWS. Penny for your thoughts. All right, final few minutes here on Penny for your thoughts. An hour of open line tomorrow. We'll talk quickly about Jock Jams right at the very start and explain what that is at the start of the 9 o'clock hour. Then On the Money will be in the second hour tomorrow, and then we'll have some more guests during the course of the week, and a lot of open line too mixed in. This from Andy Katz. He tweets out, he says, no sports team is probably as tuned into C-SPAN today as much as Air Force.
Yeah.
Because the Falcons are waiting to see what happens with the Senate vote at noon to see if they'll play this week. Are they tied that directly to the...
Well, they have announced that they will play no games until it's settled.
Okay. Well, there you go. So we'll see what happens there. And text from Brian in Nebraska. He says, Big 12 is the same every year. They collectively play a bunch of mediocre, not good, but not terrible teams pre-conference to inflate their wins and RPI. Then the conference's build is so tough until they face plant in March at tourney time. And he says Kansas will win the league again because they're the only really good team in that league. I don't know. That's,
oh, you don't think West Virginia is pretty good?
West Virginia. Texas Tech is good. TCU's coming
on. By the way,
Jamie,
did you
Dixon.
See what West Virginia did to Texas? Wow. They blew them out, didn't they?
I didn't see it.
Oh, man. It was bad.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, that's Bob Huggins.
It's Huggins and Shaka Smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's not exactly setting the world on fire at Texas.
And Dixon's doing a good job at TCU.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Dixon's a good coach. Mm-hmm. And he left what? He left Stallings nothing at Pitt. I don't know. Stallings, he may have a worse team than Illinois.
Yeah, and then, of course, he was at Vanderbilt before.
Yeah.
And they're struggling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They won a nice game, I think, yesterday, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They're winning a few games, but, I mean, Pitt can't beat anybody, really.
Right. All right. Well, I guess we've covered the waterfront here.
Yeah, I had one more thing I was going to tell you about. The three more players left the Illini team. Yep. Do I have 10 seconds?
Yep, you got about, yep.
Okay. People are worried about the numbers, and I'll just tell you real quick for numbers. The Illini will have, if they fill up the 25, even though they've lost 15 seniors here, would be, they have 81 play. They should have 81 players by the fall. They should have 56 plus 5 that are already enrolled now. They should have 61 for spring ball and about 81 if nobody else leaves.
Right, because they have, 19 signed in the early period, and they'll have 25.
They'll add another 6, and this is – this is 85 is the number you can have, and they'll have close to around 80.
All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you tonight for Illinois basketball. Thanks to Bill Raftery for checking in with us as well earlier this morning. Thanks to all of you as well. Talk to you tomorrow. Penny for your thoughts, WDWS Champaign.